W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jack Burnham of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a research analyst, to help me introduce a subject I had no knowledge of before I read a report from FTD. It turns on submarine cables. That's right. Something so fundamental that we've been celebrating them at least since the mid-19th century when the first cable was laid between Britain, I believe, and the United States. But now, Jack, a very good evening to you. Thank you. What is a submarine cable and where are they? And what does it mean that they can be vulnerable? Vulnerable how? Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me. Submarine cables are critically important for the functioning of a modern society. So submarine cables carry about 95% of global internet traffic underneath the ocean's waves. And these include things like commercial transactions, government services, and civilian communications. Submarine cables are also critical for modern militaries be able to carry messages across the world's oceans to enable command and control for the U.S. military as well as other U.S. allies and partners around the world.
So a submarine cable is how we communicate with each other, and we've come to depend upon them. Are they reliable? Do they break on themselves? Do they cause enormous expenses for maintaining them?
Submarine cables are certainly reliable, given the fact that they're far easier to fix, for example, than satellites, which once into orbit are very hard to maintain and manage. That being said, obviously accidents do happen, sometimes true accidents in storms or other natural phenomena, and sometimes sabotage or suspected cases of sabotage. So submarine cables are really seen as the go-to solution because of their ability to be laid easily and because of that accessibility. But accessibility also poses a particular danger in which adversarial actors, including Russia and China, can sabotage these systems that undergird much of modern society.
Yes, there was an incident in the Baltic Sea, I believe, some months ago, and it's still not resolved. We have an investigation out of Sweden coming to no conclusion of the accidental cutting of a submarine cable. Does that happen often? A ship goes over a cable and it breaks?
It certainly can happen. There's certainly been true accidents do happen, particularly when cables can be poorly mapped in locations where cables run up close to the shore. But in this particular case, I think it's an example of two adversarial actors, two members of an axis of aggressors challenging the United States, both Russia and China, using what we would call gray zone tactics, or tactics not designed to cause military conflict, but still designed to cause harm to U.S. and allied national interests. And submarine cable cutting is one of those instances in which it's a low-cost action unlikely to cause significant retaliation by the United States or its partners and allies, but it's still incredibly damaging to U.S. national security.
Now we come to the part that had not occurred to me, which is ownership. What do we know about the Belt and Road Initiative and submarine cables?
Of course. So the China's Belt and Road Initiative was really designed for Beijing to strengthen trade and investment linkages between China and the global South. And a key part of that was digital interconnection. So the Chinese government was very interested in funding the laying and operation of submarine cables between China and a variety of states within Southeast Asia, the Middle East, North Africa, really for the desire to maintain critical ownership of the key nodes of communication between Beijing and its new trade investment partners across the globe.
The Belt and Road Initiative has run into difficulties recently. However, it's still active in parts of the world. And the Chinese intention to dominate communication, dominate high tech, does it include submarine cables? Have they said such a thing?
So it's certainly the case that China is very interested in becoming a dominant player within submarine cables, and particularly within the global telecommunications system at large. China, through its industrial policy, has worked incredibly hard to become a dominant producer of submarine cable equipment. So these are things like power components and optical components that are really essential for the production of undersea cables. And China's also a major player in the operation of it through state-owned telecommunications firms, as well as being a key player within the maintenance industry, which is a huge component of the cable sector, of not only being able to lay cables, but also being to fix them when accidents or sabotage does occur. And China has been launching a series of increasingly advanced maintenance vessels, which, while it can be used for normal maintenance routine, can also be used to damage or disrupt undersea infrastructure.
We go now to putting all this together. HMN Technologies, which used to be owned by Huawei, I learned from your reporting, and ZTE Group, they are ostensibly private enterprises operating out of the PRC. At the same time, they have global marketplace ambitions for submarine cables. Do they own cables now?
Yes. So those two groups have been active operators of submarine cables. And really Beijing's desire was to have these two firms linked to the state to be able to hold a dominant position within the world's telecommunications infrastructure network.
The private enterprise part of this is where this gets difficult to penetrate, because you talk about how do you dominate a technology. Submarine cable is a technology. It's not satellite technology, but it exists and it's reliable. And the way you do that is you own it or dominate it, but you can't see it. It's non-transparent. So I offer an analogy. There's now a dispute over two ports owned by Li Ka-shin, a billionaire out of Hong Kong, private enterprise. These two ports are at either ends of the Panama Canal, part of a network of ports that Li Ka-shin altogether agreed to sell to BlackRock some weeks ago, calming the anxiety of the Trump administration that China is capable of interfering in the Panama Canal. We then learned that the central government, CCP, and the government put pressure on Li Ka-shin not to sign the agreement with BlackRock to sell his ports. Is that an analogy to what's going on with submarine cables? The Chinese are, in the guise of investor class, buying up critical nodes, and they include submarine cable.
I certainly think there's some analogy to be drawn. I think something that's quite important to understand in the Chinese context is the CCP's very stringent national security laws, which mandate that Chinese firms operating under Beijing's jurisdiction are forced to collaborate with intelligence gathering and other surveillance campaigns. And so, in effect, the Chinese government is able to use the networks of its nominally private firms to aid in intelligence collection and potentially sabotage in the event of a military crisis with Washington.
You have recommendations about what is to be done. The first is you want the FCC to move on ownership. What do you want them to do?
Right. So we have our report has a couple of recommendations for the FCC. One of the critical recommendations for the FCC is to prohibit any entity in the covered list. So these are known state actors, as well as entities that are subject to the jurisdiction of a foreign adversary. That includes either Moscow, Beijing, from owning submarine cables connected to the United States. And this is to get around the issue of Beijing's use of private firms to conduct intelligence operations against the United States.
That seems fairly straightforward. There's such a thing as a covered list. What is that?
So the covered list is a list of entities that are known to be acting to the detriment of the United States.
And that would be where the private companies would be listed? You wouldn't just put China, you'd name things.
Right, exactly. That's where the private companies would be listed. Those that there's evidence to believe would be operating on behalf of a foreign adversary.
And you want the FCC to do something about equipment. What?
Yes, another key goal is of our recommendations is to restrict submarine cable manufacturers from incorporating equipment from firms on this covered list, as well as components that are produced by firms under the jurisdiction of a foreign adversary. And the goal of this regulation is to prevent Beijing from using its control over strategic supply chains to introduce new vulnerabilities into U.S. critical infrastructure.
Final question, Jack. Is Beijing listening through those cables? We have 30 seconds.
I think it's certainly the case that Beijing is willing to use a variety of different aspects of its national power, whether that be through cyber operations or through using vulnerabilities in strategic infrastructure to conduct operations against the United States.
Jack Burnham is a research analyst at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Submarine cables.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.